We're doing a prayer service of sorts tonight. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to spend the last half of our service just doing healing prayer. And a good question might be, why do we pray for each other? Why do we bother to do that? Why get together and pray for each other? One could argue if God were interested in healing us, he'd just heal us, right? Not necessarily would he need somebody to come up to you, lay a hand on your shoulder, and pray for you to be healed. I mean, God is God. Ostensibly, he can do anything he wants. Why doesn't he just up and heal you? Why do we go to all this bother to have a service where we invite people to come so that our ministry team can actually be in proximity and lay hands and heal them? Maybe that's a question that you have, and it strikes me as a reasonably good one if we're dealing with an all-powerful God. And if we have to come to a church to be healed, why can't we all just sit in the pews, right? Why can't you all just sit there and say, okay, God, heal me now? You know, I'm in your church, I'm in your house, I'm around people that follow you. Why can't you just heal me here? Later on, I'm going to invite you to get up, maybe to come down forward and to let people pray for you. Why do you have to go through all of that bother? Right? Why do we pray for each other? Why can't we just kind of pray and see God come and work? Good questions. This passage in John is one of my favorite passages on prayer because of the bold claim that Jesus makes in it. He says, ask whatever you wish, and the Father will give it to you. So who would like that? Who would like to be able to ask God for whatever you want and then have it come to you right away? Okay, Jake. Okay, some other people. Yeah, it seems like a pretty good promise. It does come with a condition. You notice the first thing Jesus says is, remain in me and have my words remain in you. And again, that's a very old-fashioned way to say things, but I think what Jesus is saying is, you know, stay close to me and do what I say. That's kind of my modern vernacular translation. Stay close to me, do what I say, and then if you ask for whatever, God will give it to you. Which, you know, begs the question, what does Jesus say to do, right? I mean, if the prize is I can ask God for whatever I want, I'm very interested in knowing what I have to do to get that, you know. What is it that you're telling me to do, Jesus, to be in such a way that if I ask God for something, he's going to come through? If I pray for something, he's actually going to do it. Twice in the passage that Jake read, Jesus says, this is my command, love each other. He says it in the middle, and then he says it again at the end. This is my command, love each other. Love each other as I have loved you, is what the Lord is saying. He summarizes the text by saying, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Those two sentences could be punctuated differently. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, colon, do this command, love each other. If you love each other, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I think really that's the point that Jesus is trying to get across. That's the point that gets repeated in the passage. And again, remember in this sort of ancient style of writing, repetition equals emphasis. That's the point that Jesus is trying to get across to us. In the middle of the passage, where to me it seems kind of meandering, I think Jesus is essentially saying, if we care for the things that Jesus cares about, then we're actually more than his servants, we're his friends, which makes sense. If you want to get close to me, care about the things I care about. I find that very endearing. You know? And that's sort of what Jesus is saying. If you want to be tight with me, if you want to remain in me, as he says in the passage, then care about what I care about. And he makes clear what he cares about is people. What he cares about is us. He says, as the Father loved me, so I have loved you. So that's a pretty good love. As God loves me, I've tried to love all of you guys. So do the same thing. Again, love each other. Take care of each other. Take care of each other, and then God will give you whatever you ask for. If you're busy caring about someone, ask God for something. And if I'm caring about Ty, what am I going to be asking God for?
Help with Ty.
Help with Ty. Yeah, you know, Ty needs a lot of help. Lord knows that. No. But yeah, you know, if you're busy caring about someone, what you're asking God for, what you're praying for, is going to have to do with that person, right, if you're actively loving somebody else. So my down and dirty summary of the passage would be, take care of one another, and you'll be getting what you request from God. That's Jesus' awesome teaching on prayer. Take care of one another, and you'll be getting whatever you request from God. Which is very motivational. We are powerful in prayer when we pray for one another. Because when you pray for someone else, you're loving them. And hey, the Christian faith is all about loving people. Loving God and loving people. You know, the reason I think God built into this system, not just healing people as they sat in the pews, although he does that on, I've seen him do it on numerous occasions, but he built into this system this idea that we come together to request a blessing. So if you're sick, you come to me, I pray for you. And then he grants the request. That way, he not only grants the request, but he gets us to love each other too. That's a very clever design for a God who's interested in getting his kids to love each other. It's a brilliant way for him to set up the universe, a sneaky way for him to require us to come together and to get along, you know, and to share our lives together, to be family rather than strangers. Another point is, you know, we don't often pray well for ourselves. We lack faith when we pray for ourselves. I think because we tend to know better than anyone else what our failings are, you know. And if you're really in touch with your failings, you can be tempted to believe that God's not very impressed with you and doesn't love you very much, which is bad theology, by the way. God doesn't really care about your failings. He forgave those. I mean, that's what the crucifixion was all about. Sin is not the issue. But sometimes we can get down on ourselves. We can judge ourselves. And that makes it hard to pray for blessing if you're hung up on your own failings. And therefore, it's good to go to a brother or a sister and have them pray for you, because they're probably not so hung up on your failings. They don't know all the dirt about you that you know. That's another reason to come together. Another reason to come together is this thing called the spiritual gift. Have you guys heard about spiritual gifts? God gives different people different gifts. Some have the gift of music, and we like them to perform songs. Some people have the gift of teaching. We like them to educate us. You know, we'd like them to be around, you know, our kids when they go to school. They have the gift of teaching. Some have the gift of mercy, and we like to go to them when we need a friend. We like to find people who have the gift of mercy. And the Bible says that some people have the gift of healing, and it's good to go to them when we're sick. You ever ask yourself, why does God give people different gifts? Why doesn't he just give us all of the gifts? I think it's the same reason. I think it's because if we all have something different, we all have to come together to be complete. You know, I might have the gift of healing, but it's not necessarily going to meet my need if what I require is a teacher or a merciful friend to hear my problems or something like that. So we come together, and then we have a complete set of gifts. God is very interested in things that get us together. He's very interested in fostering love for one another, and then at that moment, choosing to bestow blessings, like healing miracles and stuff like that. So that's why we come together to pray, and that's why I'm going to ask you to let us pray for you tonight. You could just sit there, having come to a healing service, and, you know, ask God to do something sovereignly while you sit there in the pew. Okay, that's fine. God may well visit you in the pew. Gosh, I've seen some great healings. I've seen folks just kind of walk into healing services, come through the door, get healed. So that's just because he's a loving God. He's outrageously generous that way. But I encourage you to let us pray for you. And that's how the rest of the evening is going to go, okay? I'm going to invite a healing team to come up front here. They're going to array themselves. And I'm going to invite people who are interested in healing to come down the center aisle. And then to approach people on the healing prayer team as they become available, and just let them lay a hand on you and to pray for whatever the sickness is. We are powerful in prayer when we pray for each other. We're exploiting a design that God built in to the universe. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to honor God. At the same time, we honor his desire to see us love one another and take care of one another. That's it. That's the whole story. That's why we do it the way that we do it. Okay? Amen?
Amen?
All right. Having said that, I'd like to begin by praying for you where you are. Can we have the lights come up, Glenn? Let's just take a moment to pray. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd come into this room and that we'd see evidence of your presence. I pray, Lord, that you touch people. Touch them in their bodies right now. I pray, Lord, that as you sometimes do, and as Vern was talking about, that you'd let people know your presence, maybe with a little heat or a little pressure, something like that. Encourage them, Lord. Encourage them along. I'm just going to wait a second as we invite the Holy Spirit into the room. And I know there are folks that have a difficult time praying for yourself because you've been down on yourself a little bit. Listen, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're forgiven for everything. Just accept a blanket forgiveness tonight. You come into the presence of the Lord, and he is not holding it against you. He'd like you to be free from sin and difficulty just because that's going to make your life a lot better. But he's not holding it against you. In the name of Jesus Christ, be relieved of that in your heart. The Lord loves you way more than you imagine. I guarantee it. Well, move through hearts, Lord, and move through bodies. In Jesus' name, move, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would heal cancers tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would clear chests tonight, Lord, that you'd clear lungs, and that the next breath would be clear. Thank you, Lord, for coming. Okay, I'd like to do this. How many of you came tonight with a condition which, if it were immediately healed, you would immediately know?